J.J. Watt was phenomenal today. Wow. Watt was absolutely dominant. I just looked at in my notebook because I'm writing the Harris hurry up today, and I'm like, Watt stuffed that run. Oh, Watt had hold of Jimmy Garoppolo's hand. There were numerous big plays that he made. The first one was knocking McGlinchey on his wallet, which was just it was really impressive. Then a little while later, he broke through the backfield. I don't know if McGlinchey was blocking him or who, but he swam the block and he got into Garoppolo. They were throwing a quick screen. And Garoppolo had to throw it around Watt because Watt was there so fast. He throws it around Watt, wow, and they catch it 5 yards in the backfield. And Matthew, Tyron, and Kareem are right there to make it. Would have been a tackle for a loss.
John Harris on Texans radio last night on Watt, he also mentioned a play where Watt, I guess, nearly took the ball out of the hand of Jimmy Garoppolo before Garoppolo was able to basically take it back and then throw it away.
He was collapsing the pocket extremely quickly. And it was the part that was encouraging for me, because how much can you tell from training camp and all that, is that he wasn't doing it necessarily with quick swims or quick rips or moves like that. He was just flat out like bull rushing people at sprinting pace. He's got his power. He just flat out does. Now, McGlinchey is the kid. He's that rookie that some of you might have heard us with the soundbite where he said that he was more concerned about the heat in Houston than J.J. Watt and everybody else. He was kind of joking. He didn't mean anything by it. I could have made him look like a real bastard or a real moron, but he was just having fun with it.
I can't blame him, because the heat will defeat you. The heat might defeat you quicker than anybody else might.
It's not an excuse like 20 minutes into practice, though. And that's where McGlinchey in a run
drill. That's
fair. A lot of people have seen this, the video of McGlinchey versus J.J. Watt in a one-on-one run drill, which is a hard drill for both sides. It's really unrealistic. But J.J. just gets out under McGlinchey's pads and just takes his manhood from him.
Yeah.
He really probably made McGlinchey's mom kind of take her jersey off or something. Be like, no, that's not my kid. Yeah. What you want to do is make the family uncomfortable. When you know you've made a guy's family cringe in the stands, that's where you're
that's a good feeling.
Feels really good. I don't want to make too much of it, but I would say that even based off of last year, when I watched JJ in practice last year, I thought he was doing plenty of good things. This year it's been on a different level. And it's a little bit of, I think what I saw him do last year, even when he was struggling and not quite himself athletically, I thought last year he was still playing old school defensive line, maybe better, or maybe out of necessity, better than he had in a long time. When it comes to just flat out putting your hands on somebody, and even if you're not making the play, destroying an offensive tackle, and maybe you create a double team and you don't make the play. I thought he was still doing that really well, and it didn't show up in the stat sheets, but he was playing kind of old school 3-4 defensive end last year really well at times until he got injured. I think you're going to see more of that this year, where he's got a power element to his game, and that, hey, it's always awesome to run around somebody, but sometimes it's good just to go ahead and be a bulldozer and go through them. And that's what I saw. That's what I've seen a couple times now from him at practice.
When I watched Watt last year, it seemed to me like he was still trying to feel out exactly where his body was in terms of explosiveness and athleticism, but he was still finding ways to, because he's been around for a long enough time to where it felt like the intelligence and just the knack of playing the position really helped him out. I mean, people forget. I know that they're going to focus, and understandably so, on the fact that, you know, all right, you play 5 games. Let's just call it 4 games, 0 sacks. He did have 6 tackles apiece against the Bengals and the Patriots, which you're doing some kind of work if you're getting to that number as a defensive end.
I think with J.J., and this is a nuanced opinion or take on things, J.J. has always been a guy that is faster than people thought he would be. For whatever reason.
Yeah, definitely.
For whatever reason. They thought he was a big, strong dude that's going to be. He was always faster and twitchier than people thought he was going to be. But still, certainly with an element of power to his game. Like, when you compare Aaron Donald to J.J. Watt, J.J. has more power than Aaron Donald and isn't quite as slippery. You know, he's more on the power side. But J.J. was still more of a guy that was really good because of his athleticism and quickness. I think that, I don't want to say he underutilized his power, but I think now he might end up being a more well-rounded overall defensive tackle / defensive end / at times 4-3 end, where he can just flat out bludgeon people and really become more of a power football player than perhaps he was before. And I, like, when I sit out there and I'm watching him, over the last few days, I'm trying to put my finger on it, because I think physically He maybe even looks a little bit more svelte than he did last year. But he just feels, the way he's playing his game feels more imposing. And in a, like in an old school Oakland Raiders type of way, this guy looks like one of those guys that, you know what it reminds me of almost is like Henderson and Stroud from Jacksonville when they used to bat passes all the time. Maybe we see the return of J.J. Swat this year because he just feels, he looms larger out there than he has before. His game has changed like subtly but in a good way.
I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if you're just looking at it from a training camp standpoint, he does look very good out there and he looks like he's in good shape. Like I had somebody ask me, I was on the air in New Orleans on, let me see here, it's Thursday, so Tuesday night, and they asked me how Watson looks coming back from injury, and what I said was, all right, if you were out there watching the Texans in OTAs, but especially training camp, and you had no idea, you would have no clue that Watson was hurt last year.
No, not at all.
You would have no clue. No knee brace, no nothing, moving around fluidly. He looks pretty good. I know you mentioned the offense hasn't been quite as sharp as you would like it, but as far as
my limited viewing of it, you know.
But as far as Deshaun goes, like he looks good. I don't know if Watt's quite at the same, you know, level because Watson is such a tremendous athlete. But Watt, I mean, if you're just basing it off training camp, I am more optimistic than I would have been, let's say, a month ago.
Oh no, I'd say either of those guys. If I went into it with fresh eyes and didn't know anything about him, there's no way, especially Watt. Like, if I knew nothing of J.J. Watt,
you wouldn't.
And I went out there and watched him, I'd be like, holy crap, who the hell is this guy? That's how he's looked so far when I've seen him in training camp. Same with Deshaun. I don't know if I'd say, wow, who the hell is this guy, as far as in the passing game. But athletically and the way he's moving and everything, it's almost an afterthought. Somebody mentioned the ACL to me yesterday. I was talking to one of my old producers from KHOU, Dane, who's working for CBS Sports now. He was in town.
Okay.
And it was Dane. He's the producer.
The famous Dane.
And then one of those good-looking NFL or CBS Sports type dudes with slicked back hair.
It was Evan Washburn.
Evan Washburn. Yeah, yes. Yeah, Evan Washburn. I don't like talking to those TV guys when they're all made up and everything.
Well, I don't know how they survive in the heat.
Well, like the classic good-looking, like, I mean, yes. I feel like I'm talking to one of those twins from Harvard that invented Facebook.
The Winklevoss twins.
I feel like I'm talking to a Winklevoss twin. Yeah,
you're talking to one of the Winklevoss.
Like, there's something about here that's a little too perfect. I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like I'm talking to a cartoon or something.
What was Washburn wearing? Was he like in a full?
No,
get-up?
He was wearing like the training camp gear, like some kind of maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember. Okay. I didn't check him out. I saw Mike Garafolo.
Yeah,
Garafolo. He's not put together quite the same as Evan Washburn.
No, not quite.
He's more of a writer type that does some TV.
Breer was out there 2 days ago, so I'm guessing in next week's Monday Morning Quarterback, you'll get a bunch of Texan stories because he knows Bill O'Brien pretty well.
Oh, Breer. I remember seeing Breer. He's another one who, like, he's a writer, but he does some TV stuff too.
He's a decent looking guy.
He was an NFL Network guy, but I remember watching. I was out there, and you know, I was like full like diaper sweat going. And I'm looking at Breer a couple years ago on a 98 degree day, and he's standing there like perfectly dry. And that pissed me off.
Yeah,
like who the hell are these? These TV people are not human.
Breer wrote on Twitter the other day that he decided not to book a flight from Houston to New Orleans because he mistakenly forgot and he thought that driving from Houston to New Orleans would take 4 hours. Uh-huh. And then he got on the road and he forgot it was a 6 hour or 5.5 hour drive.
Well, with no traffic, you can make it in four, right? Is it long without? Yeah, I guess it
you
is.
Think four?
If you're hauling, the problem
between
is,
4 and 5.
Between 4 and 5, yeah. The problem is, there's you always be something. Hit that. You hit there's that something. Stretch. That's the most infuriating drive ever. Every time I take a long trip every summer up back home, and you look at Google Maps and you're like, oh, let's see. If I take 69 up through Texas, well, that's actually 4 minutes longer than going along I-10. I'm like, no way in hell. No way in hell I'm going to not hit traffic and be stuck in a parking lot on I-10.
Because you're thinking, all right, I got to deal with the traffic lights on 59 up there.
Right, yeah. But a nice drive, though. It's beautiful, and I always stop. There are a couple places along 69/59 up there before you get to Texarkana where it's like it's not interstate yet, and it's still just like a country road,
yeah, basically.
But with a 75-mile-an-hour speed limit. So it was like there's one spot where there's a 75-mile-an-hour speed limit sign right next to somebody's mailbox.
Basically.
And I just think about like my kid playing out in the front yard of that home, how terrified I'd be all the time.